Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
As we look towards the week 10 slate of NFL games, I said yesterday that I can't believe we're double digits into the season, and nothing has changed since yesterday. It's been a while since then, but I really do still feel shocked that we are double digit weeks into the season. I am your host, James Seltzer, and with me, as always, the man, the myth, the legend, the man who is in a country that did not elect Donald Trump president, up in the Great White North. You can follow him on Twitter at Statsman22. Mr. Paul Bruno, what is up, sir?
James, I know that the country might be reeling. I mean, that the vote was pretty much split in terms of the popular vote, actually. Didn't Hillary edge out Donald in terms of the popular vote? So that just tells you it's a house divided, and that's the challenge south of the border. And I trust that the powers that be will get it right, and you guys will unify behind the businessman who's now going to take the big seat in the White House.
That is an awful lot of trust to instill, Paul. But we'll figure it out. That's what we do here. You know what we're going to do instead right here is we are going to forget about that and talk about something that is at least more important to this moment right now in time, as this week 10 slate is approaching very quickly and we still have a little bit of time before January 20th. Paul, tight ends and defenses today. Let's jump right in. We got a lot to break down for people. Let's start out with this tight end list. And just real quick, we should start with Gronk all by himself at 8,000. Clearly the top guy on the board. Are you playing Gronk this week against Seattle?
I don't think so. I trust the Seattle defense to try and keep him in check. I think they're coming around a little bit. And this is it's going to be a hotly contested game, and I think they're going to make it a priority to shut him down as best they can. So, no, I'm shying away from that.
Yeah, I lean that way, too, especially because even though Seattle's pass defense hasn't been great lately, I still think that if I'm going to pay that kind of price for Gronk, I want a slightly better matchup. But, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if he went out and had a big day. But, of course, that's Gronk. I think I'm leaning with you and not spending that, Paul. What about these other two in the 7,000 above range? We got Jordan Reed at 7,000, Gregory Olsen at 7,200. Seemingly, fair prices for both. Are you dipping your toe in those waters?
Of the two, I would lean in favor of Olsen. He's got the better matchup, I think, and he's been the most productive guy in terms of targets and catches among tight ends all season long. So that those numbers, he's been consistent as well. He hasn't really had a bad week all season. So I'll take that consistency if forced to spend up in this range for one of those two players.
Yeah, I totally agree. Olsen over Reed for me. I'm probably not spending for either of those guys either, but Olsen, a solid matchup. Not great, but solid. I would do that before I would do Reed against that tough mini D in a second. All right, Paul, let's take these last three guys in the 6,000, four guys in the 6,000 or above range. Tyler Eifert at 6,100, Delanie Walker 6,200, Travis Kelce 6,300, and then a $300 jump up to Jimmy Graham. Seems like a solid little group here. Are you rolling with any of these guys?
I love Jimmy Graham. I picked him up in the Vegas league, and people were looking at me like, is this guy even going to be healthy? But he looks like Jimmy Graham of old. Did you see the game that he put up last week, James?
Oh, yeah.
Two circus TD catches,
yeah,
plus a hurdle jump over a defender on another catch. He's back among the best in the game at his position and could be a big factor in this hotly contested game that I highlighted earlier. A lot cheaper than some of the other big guys on the board, but I think of the bunch, he might be the value play in that grouping. I'll drop down a couple hundred bucks to Delanie Walker. against the Packers. Yesterday, we talked about how we believe that the Packers secondary is quite suspect. And so this represents a very good matchup for Walker. He's first in TDs at his position, and he's a top 10 option in terms of targets and receptions at his position. So I'll take a shot at him. And then finally, Antonio Gates turned back the clock last week. Another outstanding performance. And he's shown a steady rise in productivity over the last 3 weeks. And I like that trend. He faces a soft Miami defense. And for $5,700 represents... Oh, I jumped down below that threshold.
You did, Paul.
I gave you extra value.
Look at that. Well, luckily, I actually agree with you about Gates. So I'll let it slide. I love that play there. He's been back to being Antonio Gates, at least from a targets perspective. And scoring touchdowns as well last week. So I am in on that. And I agree with Graham. Graham is my favorite play there. He is back to being a stud number one tight end and yet still priced below and in some cases significantly below those top guys on the board. So that's a value to me. I think Graham is as good a play as any of those guys save for Gronk. So for the discount, I think Graham is a terrific, terrific value there. Love, love, love that play. All right, Paul. Let's go from below Antonio Gates and down here because, you know, we could have gone from Antonio Gates and down, but, you know, Paul, why don't we take it down to 5,000 here as we look at Jacob Tammy and above. Some potential values in here, and I see one I'm quite confident will make your list. Paul, who are you playing here?
Well, you know, I didn't talk about any Cowboys in yesterday's show, and you talked about two of them. Did you see Jason Witten against the Browns? That's all I got to say. Do I need to justify this pick? He is another guy who turned back the clock last week against the Brownies. He picked up his biggest yardage total in the last 5 years, I think it was. And he'll find soft spots in that suspect Steelers secondary that you highlighted so well yesterday. So I think this is a no-brainer at $5,400, one of the best plays on the board, whether you're a president of the Witten fan club like I am or a arch rival like you are. So I like that pick. And then we'll go down a couple spots and see C.J. Fedorowicz of the Houston Texans at $5,200. This guy's got at least four catches in 5 weeks in a row, along with three TDs in that stretch. I can't believe he's priced this low, quite frankly, given that rate of productivity over the last little while. Dropping a little bit below him, Kyle Rudolph, one of the guys who's not exactly hot, coming off the season-worst performance last week, but I think he's gotten a much better matchup against Washington, and I look for him to bounce back in a big way because he's usually a key part of the Minnesota offense, such as it is. And then the Ravens passing game should have a field day. We highlighted a couple of other guys yesterday in the wide receiver spot. I'll take a shot at Dennis Pitta. Pitta was targeted only three times last week after at least eight targets in three prior weeks. I think he rebounds against the woeful Browns.
Paul, you jump below again. I said 5,000. You did it again. This has just been a disastrous performance for me. Well, luckily, again, I will let you fly because Fedorowicz and Rudolph are my two favorite plays in that range as well. Fedorowicz, for all the reasons you said, and Rudolph, like you said, his worst game of the season last week, but still got that touchdown. Granted, 1 yard, one catch, one touchdown, but that's still better than 1 yard, one catch for no touchdowns. So Rudolph getting those red zone looks, so I like it there. And since you jump below, I'll just jump down here and add one more name. Zach Ertz, obviously we were waiting so long for him to bust out. Again, a great matchup against Atlanta. Had the 98 catches for 97 yards last week and is priced at 4,600. That is an absolute upside play that I think you have to take there. So, Paul, I like Zach Ertz. Paul, you don't have any more values there before we jump over to the D's, do you, sir?
I've got one more.
Of course you do.
$4,500 range. This guy's averaged 6.9 points per week, which is decent. But I look at what he did last week, catching a season-high seven catches on 12 targets for 90 yards. That's a lot of action for a guy in this range. And I'm talking about Lance Kendricks of the L.A. Rams against the Jets. Not exactly a powerhouse on the pass defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll add one more name in there as on the other side of that Eagles-Falcons matchup. If Jacob Tammy is out again, Austin Hooper at 4,500 is pretty much a must play. It looks like Tammy might be able to play, in which case, don't play Austin Hooper. But again, if Tammy is out, absolutely play Austin Hooper, and I will leave it at that.
Don't forget that FanDuel is doing a free fantasy basketball contest. You don't want to miss it on FanDuel. You can win a trip to Brooklyn where you and a friend will be sitting courtside with Brandon Marshall to watch Golden State take on Brooklyn. You get to see the Warriors in person. That is sweet. Travel and airfare are included. Just go to FanDuel.com/wire to play now. Very cool stuff. Don't want to miss out on that.
Paul, let's jump over to these defenses here. Let's look at those top three on the board. We have three defenses at the 5,000 mark or above. Carolina, Baltimore, and Arizona at 5,051 and 52 in sequential order there. Are you starting any of these top tier, at least price-wise, Ds this week?
You know what I'm finding, James, this year? I'm spending up on some defenses sometimes, and I can make a good case for two right at the top of this list this week. In Arizona, I think this team has got to get their act together a little bit if they want to win this division again, and I'm counting on their defense to deliver against the 49ers in a key game this week. They've averaged 10 points a season, and I think they'll be closer to what we expected of them early on in the season again after dipping the last couple of weeks. And right below them, I love Baltimore's defense against Cleveland. This could be a shutout. That's what I'm looking for out of this matchup. Cleveland's shown me very little other than Terrell Pryor, who's an outstanding talent. I feel sorry for this kid, though. He's on an island on that team, and they have no quarterbacking to speak of. So I like those two defenses in those circumstances.
I agree with one, disagree with the other. I understand the concept of playing the D against Cleveland, but I just don't love that Baltimore D this week. But again, it's a super solid play, but totally agree on the Arizona play. I think they just light up San Francisco, especially coming off that loss. That D is super talented. San Francisco is a train wreck right now, so I like that play. I'll jump down here, and I'll give you a play at 4,900 since you've been jumping down all episodes. I feel like I'm allowed to here. And I like that Minnesota D. I know they've struggled a bit the last 2 weeks, but still insanely talented, in my mind, the most talented defense in the league. Washington has been okay as an offense, but also prone to turn the ball over, and playing without Trent Williams, who was just suspended for 4 games and is not just their best lineman at left tackle, but the best offensive player on that football team. Maybe the best, probably the best player on that football team. So that is going to be a loss, and I think they're going to feel it with that insanely aggressive Minnesota pass rush. So I love the Vikings at 4,900 here. Paul, who else in that 49 to 4,500 range here kind of sticks out to you?
I got a couple of teams right at the bottom of the range that I'm looking at. I have a hunch that Eli Manning's in for one of those brain cramp day games. He's been pretty good so far for long stretches this season, but there's usually a couple of games where he gets a little bit trigger happy and throws some bad balls. I think that could happen against Cincinnati this week. They've only averaged 5.3 points per week, so this is strictly a hunch play. I've seen too much of Eli to think he's strung together a lot of long consistency here this season, but I think he's due for a blip down below that range, and I'll capitalize with Cincy. Then right above them at $4,600, I like the Chargers against Miami Dolphins. The Chargers have produced 8.3 points per week on defense. That's one of the highest marks in this range, so I'll stick with them to be in that area again.
Yeah, Paul, I could see that. I like that call, the Chargers one especially. I don't think I would be ballsy enough to roll out the Bengals, but definitely a fan of the other call. Paul, let's look at 4,400 and below here as we look at these real values. I will give you the couple that stick out to me here when I'm looking at this list. First and foremost, and this is, you want to talk about a hunch gut play. This is about as, you know, again, you need some cojones to make this play, but the Eagles defense has been very good from a scoring perspective, as has the special teams. And I know the Atlanta offense has been the best in football. I know, but for 4,400 and considering the upside from a defensive turnover perspective and the fact that the Eagles have been terrific at home so far this season. 3-0, they've only allowed 23 points at home in their 3 home games total against at least one good offense in Pittsburgh. I think that this could be a game where the Eagles D surprises a great Atlanta offense. Again, I think it takes some guts to do it, but Paul, that's a defense in this range that I would be willing to take a shot on in a tournament. Who sticks out to you? There's one other name here I'll throw in, but I'll give you a chance to see if you get it.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say Pittsburgh. And I'll tell you why.
Wow, Paul, what is happening here?
I've watched this team against the Cowboys. They play only once every 3 or 4 years. And every time out, the Cowboys wet the bed against this defense. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to pick them and say maybe it's a jinx. Maybe if I pick them, they won't do anything. But I wouldn't be surprised if they come up big against the Cowboys and shock me again and disappoint me.
Look at that. I would have no problem with that. I will have one more. Washington's D has actually looked pretty good of late, at least from a aggressiveness, pass rushing perspective. And we've seen the last few weeks that that Minnesota offensive line is probably the worst in football, certainly the worst at pass protecting in football right now. Bradford has literally been fearing for his life. It's amazing he's healthy considering his history, but I think that Washington D against this struggling mini offense has some upside. Paul, everyone remember to check out Paul tomorrow with Johnny McKechnie. I'll bring you the Friday podcast and of course the Puckcast. Paul, Paul's hockey pod. Paul, tell everyone what's going on there.
I recorded with J.J. Scholes, one of the standard bearers for the hockey coverage at RotoWire headquarters in Madison. He really knows his hockey. He really showed me something. He gives a lot of minor league updates, NCAA updates, and references when we do player profiles. He brings a ton to the show. And, of course, I have a long history around the sport myself. We go around the league and tell you who's playing with who and power play units and shorthanded situations and who's hot and who's not. Who are people picking up in fantasy and season long and daily games? We cover it all, and we have a ball doing it.
Listen to that. Check it out, the podcast. You can find it at the RotoWire hockey page. And again, check out Paul and Johnny McKechnie tomorrow, bringing it again. Paul, you have a wonderful show tomorrow. I'll miss you until next week.
Same with me, my friend.
There we go. We have That's a good what time I was waiting this. For. That's and, what I was waiting for.
I always look forward to it.
Me as well. So, again, check out Paul tomorrow. Check out the podcast. Paul and I will be back together next week. For Paul Bruno, follow him on Twitter at Statsman22. I am James Seltzer. This has been the Thursday Tight Ends and Defense Week 10 Preview Edition of the RotoWire DFS Podcast.
They're going to kill the love of my life.
Casey!
If I don't go back to what I was doing.
This Friday.
Our line of work is quite brutal and quite ruthless.
How far would you go for love?
You steal a truck, bring it to me, then you make your money.
Is it dangerous?
Of course it's dangerous!
Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones, with Ben Kingsley and Anthony Hopkins.
All this trouble, all this pain, for love.
Collide, in theaters Friday. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13.